Producer Chip here with me. I'm Brian Emmons. It's another episode of Fair Shake. Chip, we are jam-packed today.
Yeah, we don't have long to talk this morning, Brian. We have got two guests that each of them had a lot to say, and you're going to want to hear it.
Our witty banter has to be kept to a minimum today.
Yes, yes.
Some people are going to be happy. Some people are going to be sad. That's just the way life works.
But everyone's going to be happy with our two guests.
Yes, absolutely. We got Ryan Lichten. You know him. He came on, what, Chip, year and a half ago?
Yeah, about 2 years. Yeah, close to 2 years ago
now. To talk about Woodstock 99. I know we replayed that in one of the best of weeks. And Ryan is with a podcast called Culture Dumps, who kind of does what we do here once in a while every single week on the podcast, or at least every couple weeks, talk about pop culture things and dive into things in the past. Well, he's going to be on this week to talk about a thing that honestly I'd kind of forgotten about called Hands Across America that happened in 1986.
Yeah, I mean, I've always remembered it, but I never really have thought about it too much. Yeah, I learned a lot about Hands Across America, and he's such an expert on it, and the kid wasn't even alive in 1986, yeah. So credit to him for bringing that back to us this week.
Yeah, and on Culture Dumps, I mean, they do what we try to do. If we're going to introduce a topic, we don't just do, you know, one internet search and talk about it. They do deep dives on this stuff and really, really get into it. So Ryan's going to be here, and then our 2024 Correspondent of the Year when we did the Shaky Awards that year, IndyCar head of digital creations,
yes,
David Krask is going to be here. David is always a great guest. He's excited. I don't know if he could be any more excited about IndyCar racing.
I know. What a dream job he's having. This kid's been in IndyCar since he's about 8 years old, and here he is in his like 12th year working for Penske up there at IndyCar. So yeah, I know people say living the dream a lot. Sometimes they're being a little they're actually being sarcastic when they say it sometimes. Right. He is literally living the dream.
Yeah, it would have been like, you know, back, you know, 25 years ago at the height of my baseball fandom, if I would have gotten a job with the Cubs, you know,
Brian, we were close to getting jobs. I mean, we were swimming with the executives.
Well, that is true.
I mean, we were very close to working in the front office. That's true. Cubs, we decided to save ourselves for radio.
Yeah, for another day, we need to tell Cub convention stories when we hobnobbed with the Cubs.
We will tell them the ones that are allowable to tell. We will definitely have an episode with that.
Our Cub convention stories could hold a whole episode. And like you said, not all of them can be told, but some really funny moments that we had in Chicago. But yeah, David Krask will be on. He's going to talk about the Indy 500 and really the only way he can. And he's got insider knowledge. He knows the drivers. He knows Mark Janes, who has been on the sports reports every day. So we're looking forward to that. So jam-packed show. I was up early on Friday yesterday. I had morning show duties, did the news, which is not easy for me to try to be serious, you know, for 3 minutes at a time and read about things. So that was fun. But so it was good to get in there with Dwayne and hadn't sat in on the morning show for a while. So that was a good time. On Sunday, Dwayne Shanks Open is happening, and we have a team in that. Old School Mook and Kirsten, my wife, and Craig Rodewald, our friend's going to play. Now, it's a different kind of scramble. On the drive, you have to take the worst shot.
Ooh, I like this.
So then you scramble from there. But, yeah, okay. Just the drive.
Okay.
So
yeah, there's different ways to look at that. I mean, yeah. Okay.
So we're going
to, so your worst player really needs to play well.
Well, or
your
just,
so you're not always using their, I mean, you're right. Actually, your worst shot's actually a decent shot.
Yeah. If I'd say the higher two handicaps, Kirsten and Craig, if they can hit good tee shots, mm-hmm. we're in really, really solid shape. So,
Well, next week I want you to let us know how this scramble went.
I will. I think he's got 14 teams or whatever, so looking forward. But going to be a great Memorial Day. Hopefully the rain holds off. We're about done with that for a while. We needed it, but now we're about done with it, so hopefully it's going to be good weather. But hey, let's take a break, and we'll get right to our guest, Ryan Lichten. We'll talk about something that you may have forgotten about. I know I did, called Hands Across America. And then we'll have David Crass talking about the greatest spectacle in racing in segments 3 and 4. Producer Chip, Brian Emmons, we'll be right back on Fair Shake after this.
Your next project with the equipment you need from Bobcat of Davies County. They've got a huge inventory in stock right now, plus great rebates on all track loaders, skid steers, and mini excavators. Whether you're upgrading your fleet or tackling a new job, now is the time to save. Stop by Bobcat of Davies County and let the team help you get the job done right. Visit bobcatofdaviescounty.com or follow their Facebook page. Call 812-254-7070. Bobcat of Davies County. That's one tough animal.
Your internet should keep up with the way you need to use it. Whether you're watching your favorite show, uploading files, or running the smartest home in town, IntelliSyn gives you fast, reliable internet backed by local people who are here when you need us. Simple plans, strong connection, service you can count on. Disclaimer, no calculator, spreadsheets, finger counting, advanced degrees, decoder rings, magnifying glasses, or Einstein-level math required to understand your internet bill. Fees are not hiding in the bushes. Promotional fine print will not jump out 6 months later and scare your wallet. Honestly, that's pretty much it. IntelliSyn, delivered by RTC. The difference is who answers.
Washington, get ready for Dolly. The Dolly Tribute Show featuring Natasha Henry from Nashville is coming to the Washington High School Auditorium Saturday, May 30th.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Here you come again. Just when I've begun to get myself together. Jolene. Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man.
Tickets are $25 and available at Springs Valley Bank in Washington or online at WashingtonCommunityConcerts.com. Sing along with all your favorites from the legendary Dolly Parton, performed by one of the top Dolly tributes in the country, Natasha Henry, Saturday, May 30th in the Washington High School Auditorium. Show starts at 7:30. Get your tickets now, and we'll see you at the show. Weather brought to you by the Legends Village Assisted Living in Washington.
Join me in the excitement of sharing life each day at the Legends Village. Hello, I'm Libby. Visit with me and allow me to show you how wonderful and affordable assisted living can be at the Legends Village.
Here's your forecast from the ABK Flooring Weather Center. Looks like we'll see mostly cloudy skies today. Just a very slight chance for shower highs on this Saturday at 77. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low of 61. Chance for rain and thunderstorms moving in on Sunday with highs warming up to 81 tomorrow. Scattered showers is what they say. And for Memorial Day Monday, again, a slight chance for the rain and thunderstorms for your holiday. Highs will remain at 81 on Monday.
At Memories 107.9, we asked all our friends, and they love this song.
Hands across America. Hands across this land I love. United we fall. United we stand. Hands across America. Hands across America.
On Fair Shake, you remember Ryan Lichten. He came on and talked about Woodstock 99 a little while ago, and he's got a podcast called Culture Dumps where he talks about all things pop culture. And Ryan joins us on the Thompson Insurance Zoom line, and we are glad to welcome him back to the show. Ryan, first, before we get started, tell everybody what in the world back in May of 1986 was Hands Across America.
Oh, Hands Across America was a nationwide effort to band everyday people together, hand in hand, creating a chain from one end of the country to the other. Well, the country proper, right? Because Hawaii was left out of this, and so was Alaska, much to their dismay. But it was put on by USA for Africa. If you remember, they did Live Aid for We Are the World. That was their big song. And this was their next push, but this was going to be focused at American homelessness and hunger. So it was, you know, that's why it was Hands Across America, and it was super patriotic, and they had a song made just like We Are the World, except Toto did it. And it was written by commercial jingle guys. But I mean, it was a huge, huge thing. There was 4-some-odd million people that did it. And was it one complete chain? Not even close. But I was thinking about it today because I knew I was coming on here. And I was like, it's so easy to make fun of this.
Yeah.
But it was a nice thing.
It was cool. Yeah.
It really was a nice thing. And you bet your bottom you could never do that now.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. No chance this happens in 2026.
No, well, and I mean, even back in 86 when it happened, right, like, a lot of people hated Reagan, and there was a lot of this, like, kind of what we're seeing now, like, you know, there's a lot of hard left versus hard right kind of stuff, but people did come together, and, you know, it just wasn't as harsh. Now, there was plenty of protests against Hands Across America because of the president's involvement at the time.
Oh, wow.
And there was, like, many Hands Across Americas, but it was really just kind of like hands across the street. It was just, like, people upset, and, you know, but they brought in tons and tons of celebrities to be involved, so you might be in, you know, nowhere, Minnesota, but or Ohio or what have you, but there's Michael Jackson. Or my favorite was in Arizona, in like the middle of the desert, Hervé Velázquez, a tattoo from Fantasy Island, he was there, you know? So, I mean, yeah, it was a cool, cool thing that did bring everyone together.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you talked about Hawaii, though. I think, didn't they do a Hands Across Hawaii, too? I think I saw somewhere.
Yeah, it was their governor and Tom Selleck. Put it together.
Well, you know, what an organizing crew that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's killer. Alaska just didn't bother. They're like, whatever. But I mean, there's all kinds of weird ones. Well, and first of all, the thing to remember, and I wrote the guy's name down because I had to go back and listen to this episode of Culture Dumps. Because again, this was the topic of our very first episode, 200 some odd episodes back in 2020. And what was really crazy was when we recorded that in October of 2020, we're in the height of COVID, and we're talking about this thing where millions of people are holding hands. Think about that.
Yeah.
That was mind-boggling, and it was so timely. But there was a guy that actually created Hands Across America before. It was in the 70s, and he tried to do it, and it was only about 8 to 10 mile stretch. And his copyright ran out about a year or so after, in 1979, and they just took it and did Hands Across America.
Oh, wow. Not great. So this was to raise money for homelessness and food drives, things like that, right?
Things like that. And I mean, what the thing with the money, I mean, it's always with the money, right? I mean, there's always some problem that comes out of these giant things. I mean, if you look into the history of Live Aid, another USA for Africa, you know, triumph, there was some weird stuff that happened with some of that money, you know, and with Hands Across America, it wasn't necessarily that any of the funds went somewhere bad. There just wasn't much of it. It cost, you know, they were expecting to make $100 million. They made about 30, and about 15 of that ended up going actually into the charity to causes, because all the insurance and the promotion and everything that went into throwing it, and then just kind of like, then you have a 15-minute moment of everyone holding hands, and that's it.
And that's
really no payoff. And celebrities would sponsor like miles, you know, so, oh, I'll sponsor that. And what that would pay for would be like porta potties and water and like things like that for those areas. Because, you know, going across America, and mind you, they only went through like 18 or something, 16 states. It wasn't all of America by any means. And people were really bummed about that. But, you know, you're going through huge stretches of desert, because that'd be the easiest, quickest way to do this with the least amount of people. Yeah, but there's huge gaps in that. Like, speaking of that, you know, in the middle of the desert, you can't have people standing out there because they were only holding hands for 15 minutes, right, for it to count. But you had to be out there all day for that 15 minutes to start.
This sounds awful.
The guys would truck in cattle and line cattle up, and you might hold a cow's tail, and then there'd be like a mile and a half of cattle. And then, like, the other person has their hand on, like, the head. It's like, okay, that's done. They would do ropes. Like, they're like, okay, just bring out a couple miles of ribbon. And we'll just stretch that through this like awful area. But then in like coming around New Jersey, one of the prisons, they did hands across the yard. It was Rahway Prison, which is now Eastern Jersey or East Jersey State Prison. But they did 500 inmates across the yard holding hands. I mean, it's crazy. It went through lakes. There was divers underwater in scuba gear holding hands, people above in kayaks. You know, I forgot where it was, but they had 50 Abraham Lincoln impersonators. Okay, when do you see that when you're not on like acid, first of all? And then in Memphis, they had 54 Elvis impersonators. Like, it's just crazy. And the celebrities that they had was everyone from the president down to C-3PO.
I mean, I'm just thinking if this happens now with the internet. I mean, all the keyboard comics are just having a field day with this thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm laughing right now just hearing you talk about it.
It really is crazy. And when you watch the videos and stuff, I mean, this was advertised for, oh man. Well, unless we forget, here's the first rule of event promotion. Don't double book yourself. Okay. USA for Africa on that same day that Hands Across America was doing the huge nationwide giant push. You couldn't have gone to a McDonald's like for almost a year leading up to that without seeing it on the placemats. Okay. They did Sport Aid that day. Which was the athletic answer to Live Aid, right. And it was going to be a big Olympic like esque sporting event, and there was a video game and a song called Race Against Time that went along with that. Bombed, because I'm sorry, you have 4 million people that would have been involved in this other USA for Africa thing. They're all out in the desert holding hands with their dads
for 15 minutes.
Okay, and that was my other point. 15 minutes is a long time to hold anyone's hand, like unless you're in junior high school and it's your first time doing it. Like, imagine your father, like, oh, this is America. We're coming together. Come on, son. And hold your dad's hand for 15 minutes. Oh, man. Like, if I was 16 and like, oh, man. Yeah. So there's just a lot of really goofy things like that that do make, you know, Hands Across America really funny. But when you look back and like you hear people talking about it in earnest, it was a very kind of special, unique thing that will never happen again.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. And I think, you know, you've seen the pictures of them going across the Golden Gate Bridge, and I didn't see pictures of the prison, but I'm sure that was really cool too. And
I'm sure, I mean, we said that, I'm sure that there's a lot of stuff being passed through that chain.
Contraband.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's just so many funny things like that. And yeah, they just couldn't do it. And what we realized, again, when we recorded our episode about this in 2020, which had no relation to any anniversary, it was just the first thing we thought of.
Yeah.
Like, this is like a great first topic because it's a way to ease into this new show. You know, right in the middle of COVID, like when everyone would go outside and bang on pots and pans and stuff, like at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did that where you guys are, but that was like a thing at 7 o'clock, like everywhere in LA, everyone's banging and cheering at the same time. That was like Hands Across America. You know what I mean? Like in its own way, like it, that's the closest we would get to people coming together to do one thing at one time for a positive thing, you know.
And you said that Toto sang the song. It is kind of catchy.
Here's the thing. I actually don't know if they sang it.
Oh, the
music.
I gotcha.
But the lyrics were written by commercial jingle guys, like Best Part of Week, like the guys that do that kind of stuff.
And it kind of has that sound. Yeah.
Yes, it does. It sounds like it because it was played as a commercial for the event. And then when at the event, everyone was singing We Are the World. The whole thing is a big commercial.
Right.
You know what I mean? But again, like, it does feel even too cynical for me to, like, just blatantly talk smack on a charitable guy.
Right.
But, like, I'm gonna. You know?
I mean, they did. What you said, 10, 15 million. I mean, it's not probably what they
won,
but it's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, I think the effort, you know, and also, again, it was kind of a sham. Like, no, everyone wasn't connected, and they did it in such a way, and, you know, there was a lot of claims from certain politicians that they were left out on purpose because of, butting heads with the administration, and, you know, all that stuff came into play.
Imagine that, a politician ruined something.
And also, if you look at some of the folks that were in that line in Hands Across America, the whole thing would have been kaput. I'm sorry. Let's stick Bill Cosby right in there now and have everyone hold hands with him. Are you kidding me? So, you know, you have to just kind of look at the whole thing for what it was, when it was, and it was overall pretty positive.
Bands across America. Hopefully that brings a funny memory back to everybody like it did me. Go check out Ryan's podcast, Culture Dumps. They talk about stuff. Matter of fact, there is an episode that I'm going to send to my mom because I have a feeling that she will be interested in it because she had a Danielle Steele book around the house reading all the time. So I'm going to have her go listen to that one. But Ryan, thanks for joining us here on the Thompson Insurance Zoom line. We really, really appreciate it. We can't wait to have you back.
Thank you for having me, guys. It's good to see you.
Yep. Thanks, Ryan.
We'll be right back after these words with IndyCar's David Crass to get us ready for this weekend's Indy 500. Of course, your place for the race. Memories 107.9 coverage starts at 11 a.m. We'll be right back after this.
Sharp Trailers in Elnora is stocked with a wide range of products coming in nearly every day. The lot is filling up, the parts showroom is full, and the shop is hustling. If you need a new trailer, parts, or service on your trailer, now's the time to call at 812-692-5288. Sharp Trailers has livestock, dump, utility, tilt, flatbed, and tons of cargo trailers in stock. Visit sharptrailers.com for more information.
Stop by and see Mark with Procom Satellite. Procom Satellite is proud to be the local entertainment expert of Washington for 14 years in Cali. Come visit today for an in-person demonstration of the Hopper Whole Home DVR from Dish and learn all the tips and tricks to make entertainment easy. When you shop with Procom Satellite, not only will you get the best-in-class customer service, you'll also be supporting your local community. Call 812-257-0333 or visit us today.
Rhodes Automotive is your reliable, prompt, and affordable auto repair. Whether you drive a car, SUV, truck, or diesel truck, Rhodes Automotive has you covered. Their technicians are ASE certified, and there's a 4-year, 48,000-mile warranty on all parts and labor. But here's the best about Rhodes Automotive. They offer a free shuttle service to get you to work or home while your vehicle gets the care it deserves. Business hours Monday through Thursday, 7 to 6, 812-642-5020.
Get ready for two big days of great live music in downtown Ligoti on the new Pavilion Stage. On Friday night, June 19th at the Ligoti Summerfest, we're proud to welcome country superstar Alex Miller from American Idol.
I've been mixing memories and gin, trying to get her off my mind again. So I'll pretend that I don't care and leave before I choke. I won't you kill me with that second-hand smoke. I think I'm a little more country than you.
Saturday night, June 20th, they're back again by popular demand. The Extreme AC/DC tribute, Dirty Deeds USA. Bring your lawn chairs and come join us for a great weekend of family fun at the Ligoti Summerfest, June 18th, 19th, and 20th in downtown Ligoti.
Weather brought to you by Murphy's Seamless Guttering, your trusted, fully insured local experts for residential and commercial seamless gutters. And now, Murphy's also offers residential and commercial metal and shingle roofing. Call 812-259-0748 or message them on Facebook for your free estimate.
Here's your forecast from the ABK Flooring Weather Center. Looks like we'll see mostly cloudy skies today. Just a very slight chance for shower highs on this Saturday at 77. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low of 61. Chance for rain and thunderstorms moving in on Sunday with highs warming up to 81 tomorrow. Scattered showers is what they say. And for Memorial Day Monday, again, a slight chance for the rain and thunderstorms for your holiday. Highs will remain at 81 on Monday.
All the memories are in one place. Memories 107.9.
Now joining producer Chip and I on the Thompson Insurance Zoom line, Chip, everybody's favorite guest. He was, what, the 2024 correspondent of the year?
Correspondent of the year. We had him on to accept his award a couple years ago.
We talk IndyCar with him. He came on to talk the Sandberg game on an episode. A man that wears many jackets, many hats. It's David Krask from IndyCar. How are you, bud?
Doing good. It's been a busy month of May.
Yes, sure it has. Talk about just not only IndyCar and where you work, but the whole vibe around the city. Do you feel it starting to build? Is there levels of that mood?
To be honest, this year, I think it started earlier, to be perfectly honest. I think it really started almost the day after the Final Four, okay. Right? Because if you'll recall, the hotel here in Indianapolis, the JW Marriott, it had the entire bracket on it, right? All the way down to Michigan winning the national championship. 48 hours later, that started to come down, and the "This is May" started going up. So the vibe started much sooner. And then, of course, we've had, this is our seventh race this year, the Indy 500, which is the most we've had before the 500 in a long time. So, I think a lot more people here in Central Indiana are really paying attention more. And, we started the month of May 2.5 weeks early before May even began.
I got you. Well, of course, you can hear the 500 starting at 11 a.m. on Memories 107.9, your place for the race. I'm guessing your answer is going to be Alex Palou, but who's got the momentum as we come into the greatest spectacle in racing?
Alex Palou.
Okay.
you've got to hand it to him. Although I will say the team took a gamble during qualifying and it paid off. So for qualifying this year, we actually were supposed to go over 2 days. We didn't. We went over 1 day because we were rained out. So it was basically one time only, go out top 12, then have to re-qualify again. Alex Palou was only 11th. To get into the top 12. So we barely made it. And the track was getting hotter. The team threw a little bit of downforce out of it. That worked. He got into the fast six, but he wasn't the fastest. And on pit lane, the team threw a gear change in it, opened up the gearbox, changed the gears, got it done in 15 minutes.
Oh my God.
He's on the pole. So, and that's on pit lane.
How is that possible?
And literally, Alex Palou will tell you, I have no reason to be on pole.
Right.
He knows he has a great car, right? And he knows he can race with it. But he basically said, if I just made the top 12, I would have been giddy. But it is what it is. So Alex has a lot of momentum. He's a four-time champion. He's the defending Indianapolis 500 champion. It's hard to go against him right now. But again, you're riding that momentum. He's the points leader. He is a generational talent, and he's showing that again this month of May.
Chip, if you pulled in the Viking mark, could you air up all four of your tires in one pit stop?
Oh, no, not at all.
I just think that's amazing. Those guys can do that work in that amount of time. I have trouble if somebody's standing over my shoulder typing, and I type every day. So, So Palou obviously is always, it seems like, going to be the guy to beat. Hey, how were the guys that were in the crash the other day? I know that wasn't nice.
So no, it wasn't nice. And even Alexander Rossi will say that one didn't feel good. Yeah. So the long and the short is there were three cars involved. Actually, technically there were four cars involved, right? So Alexander Rossi spun exiting turn two, did a three-quarter spin, hit. Pato was two cars behind him. He hit the brakes, and when you're going 230 in a turn, when you hit the brakes, all your weight goes forward, and he snapped. He didn't hit the outside wall. He backed straight into Rossi. And then Romain Grosjean spun farther back, trying to avoid all the carnage that was going on. So, so, and then the fourth car, as a point of reference, a lot of people think it's only three. There were actually four. The damaged car of Connor Daly caught underwing damage to the point where the team has to basically pull the entire, you know, the aerodynamic underwing off the bottom of the car. They couldn't do that in the final practice. Replacing the underwing's not that hard, but basically shot their practice. So, but Rossi did have outpatient procedures on his, let me get this right, his left hand and his right ankle. Both went well. He has not yet been cleared to drive. He is under the care of our lead, our chief medical officer, Dr. Weiser. But he's in great spirits. He's, you know, those are the only two injuries, no concussion. Basically, it's like he's doing everything he can do to get back in the car. I have a feeling that they'll probably allow him to get back in the car on carb day on Friday. And if that all goes well, then he will retain his middle of the front row position. But he will go back to a backup car. Pato O'Ward will go to a backup car. Pato's totally fine. So, yeah. And then Grosjean doesn't go to a backup car. It was minor damage. They can repair all that stuff.
Do those teams have, coming into the week, have a backup driver in case something happens? How's that work?
So, yes and no, I guess you could say. It's one thing to have a backup driver. It's another thing to have a driver available that has oval experience. Let's see. ECR does have a developmental driver, but he has not done his oval tests, so he would not be able to jump into the car. So if worse came to worse and Alexander Rossi were ruled out, who can you go get? And there is a driver here in town that has been at the track all day. His name's Callum Ilott. He drove for Prema Racing last year. Quality driver, very knowledgeable in ovals. He could get into it. Right now, he's still technically under contract with Prema. Theoretically, he could, but he would also need to go out and do an oval refresher just to make sure that he's good with it. But then that's it. But as of right now, Alexander Rossi is still the driver of the car.
Hmm. Are there any old guys that would shock the world that could come back and jump in a car, you think?
To be honest, I don't think TK would do it. Yeah. Because Tony Kanaan's basically part of another team right now, yeah, and he is truly enjoying being the principal of Arrow McLaren. Other older drivers, I can't think of any off the top of my head. Perhaps Stefan Wilson, who is Justin Wilson's younger brother, who's driven the Indianapolis 500. He hasn't driven in 3 years, but the saving grace about him is that he and Alexander Rossi are pretty identical in height. So they're both about 6'3". So, in fact, I think Stefan's 6'4". So, and you've got to watch that, because basically when you have someone that's trying to get into a car that's been designed or been set up for someone that's 6'3", now you try to find someone that's, you know, 5'10", right, you've got a lot more adjustments you've got to make inside the car just to make it comfortable. So, you know, and so, and then at the same time, Stefan and Alexander are probably the same weight. If you put someone smaller in the car, weight changes. Sure. So, and just those little nuances are enough to really upset the apple cart.
I was going to say, I jump in one of those things. There's some adjustments need to be made, Chip.
Ditto.
After these words, we'll be right back to continue our conversation with David Krask from IndyCar, and you're hearing him on the Thompson Insurance Zoom line. We'll be right back after this.
Life in the fast lane, surely make you lose your mind. Life in the fast lane.
Yeah.
Your internet should keep up with the way you need to use it. Whether you're watching your favorite show, uploading files, or running the smartest home in town, IntelliSync gives you fast, reliable internet backed by local people who are here when you need us. Simple plans, strong connection, service you can count on. Disclaimer, no calculator, spreadsheets, finger counting, advanced degrees, decoder, rings, magnifying glasses, or Einstein level math required to understand your internet bill. Fees are not hiding in the bushes. Promotional fine print will not jump out 6 months later and scare your wallet. Well, that was easy. IntelliSync, delivered by RTC. The difference is who answers.
Fantastic, amazing weekend specials all this weekend at El Mazatlan in the Washington Plaza on West National Highway. The $7.99 meal deal is back. Taco salads, only $7.99. Nacho supreme, $7.99. Four enchilada supremes, $7.99. And all weekend, 99-cent margaritas to cool you down on the hot summer days. It's 99-cent margaritas, $7.99, taco salad, nacho supreme, and enchilada supremes all this weekend. El Mazatlan in the Washington Plaza on West National Highway.
Get ready for the ultimate race to success with Bobcat of Davies County. Whether you're digging, hauling, or grading, Bobcat has you covered with our top-of-the-line equipment. So, if you want to stay ahead of the pack, come see us off Highway 50 in Washington. Because when it comes to speed and precision, we're the true champions. Visit Bobcat of Davies County today and experience the thrill of victory with our unbeatable selection and expert service. Race ahead with Bobcat.
We are Bobcat of Davies County.
The Razor 94.5 WRZR is proud to present another great live show at the Astra Theater on the Square in downtown Jasper. Saturday night, June 13th, get ready for the Y Store with special guests Stacking Eights live at the Astra.
Lack of water.
Get your tickets now at astratheater.com and come out for a great night of live music featuring the Y Store with Stacking Eights Saturday, June 13th at the Astra on the Square in downtown Jasper. Proudly presented by the Razor 94.5 WRZR. Weather brought to you by Davies Community Hospital. DCH is expanding specialty services through a new partnership with Tri-State Orthopedics. Dr. Ryan Wetzel and Dr. Jason Franklin are pain management specialists, while Dr. Braxton Facer is a surgical podiatrist. To schedule an appointment, call 812-477-1558. Here's your forecast from the ABK Flooring Weather Center. Looks like we'll see mostly cloudy skies today. Just a very slight chance for shower highs on this Saturday at 77. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low of 61. Chance for rain and thunderstorms moving in on Sunday with highs warming up to 81 tomorrow. Scattered showers is what they say. And for Memorial Day Monday, again, a slight chance for the rain and thunderstorms for your holiday. Highs will remain at 81 on Monday.
To Washington and Davies County at 107.9. To the world at WAMWAMFM.com. We are Memories 107.9.
Never did win no checker flags, but it never did come in last. Jerry was a race car driver, he'd say Elsop number one. With the bull seam sticker on a 442, he'd light him up just for fun.
Now back with our conversation with IndyCar's David Krask on the Thompson Insured Zoom line. Is only having 33 cars going for 33 positions with, you know, the no bumps or anything, is that a big deal to the hardcore fan?
I can see both ways. You know, you like the drama of bumping and you like the idea of the fastest 33.
Sure.
Right. And so, and you want to see, you know, you'd like to have bumping. At the same time, in my opinion, as a hardcore fan, I would rather, you know, if we're at that point, I still want to see 33 cars, right? Regardless of whether there were bumping or not.
Right.
Bumping to me is basically an additional level of intrigue.
Yeah,
right? But you know, so long as we retain the fastest 33, even though there were only 33 that went out and qualified or on the entry list, so be it.
Yeah.
So there, but it's a tricky subject that I can absolutely see both sides. We've got to have bumping. You add the intrigue, et cetera, et cetera. At the same time, I think those hardcore purists would say, well, what would happen if we only had 32 cars? That would throw up a red flag to me. So a little bit, you know, so long as we retain the 33, that's the baseline.
Are the days of some independent guy or team building a car at home and trying to qualify over?
those days, you know, of like an independent, I'm gonna build my own chassis. I'm gonna build my own engine.
Was there like a Purcell that used to? He was an independent guy or something. I'm thinking long time ago.
I can't remember that name.
But yeah.
So, but the days of the independent, build my own car, build my own engine, those are probably gone, especially with the rules and regulations where, you know, like, for example, if we wanted to have, you know, I'm just going to, you know, let's say engine manufacturer X, right, outside of Honda and Chevy. Hey, we want to enter the Indy 500. Great. We'd love to have you, right? But you need to also be understood. Also be willing to take on not just one car, but multiple cars, right? So now you've got to add an additional investment. The same thing can also pretty much be said with if there was a second chassis manufacturer outside of Dallara, they've got to be able to invest that amount of money into X number of cars so that it basically levels the playing field. But at the same time, regarding Dallara and the chassis, we've been so happy with Dallara, it's like, why would we want to change? Because look at the product that we're putting out on the racetrack. It's phenomenal, right? Why would we want to have a chassis manufacturer competition, right? The more the competition more is with the engine manufacturers.
Yeah. Along those lines, is there any of the drivers that's kind of a dark horse that you could see sneaking into this thing that maybe hasn't performed so far this year?
So in the 33 in the field, if I were to pick kind of a couple dark horses, you always got to keep in the back of your mind Connor Daly, right? Connor has been extremely fast this year, right? And he's in a one-off car, and the team he's driving for is I don't want to say a one-off team, but it's Dreyer and Reinbold. They only drive the Indy 500. But year after year after year after year, Dreyer and Reinbold Racing, they always put together two good cars. And last year, Ryan Hunter-Reay, save for one pit stop, driving for Dreyer and Reinbold, should have won the race, right? Connor is in that car this year. Ryan Hunter-Reay actually is the fourth driver for Arrow McLaren this year, taking where Kyle Larson was, right? But Connor has, you know, came right out of the box, was top five in practice one, has been in the top 10 all the time, you know, and he qualified eighth. Actually, he qualified ninth. He qualified in the first three rows, right, for an Indy 500-only team. That's one to really keep an eye on. If you want a couple of dark horses, I've kind of circled two others. One is Rinus VK, right? Okay. Driving for Junkos Hollinger, car 76. He's going to start in middle of row four. Quiet, but has been extremely fast. He's been basically one of those real under the radar. But when you got to remember, he's actually started on the pole before, right? He is one of those that if his car is right and it's dialed, He lives to his nickname, the Rocket.
I think so, I had him in the Indy 500 pool last year.
Yeah, so Rinus would be a very good one. One that a lot of people may not kind of, you know much, but you'll find out very quickly. He's starting on the outside of row five, Christian Rasmussen. He is Alexander Rossi's teammate. He won at Milwaukee on a head-to-head matchup with Pillow and passed him fair and square. Okay. So he is one that is fun to watch on ovals. He's from Denmark, but absolutely phenomenal. So those are a couple that I'd be watching as dark horses. You know, there are a couple other stories that I'm kind of interested to see how it unfolds. Like, you know, what happened to Newgarden in qualifying, right? A two-time Indy 500 champion couldn't get out of row eight. So, you know, if he's not in the top 10 by lap 20, something really is wrong. So, there's a lot of great stories in here. You've got someone going for the double this year. You know, you've got Catherine Legg to become the first woman to do the double.
Yeah. And by the way, I just clicked on Catherine. Holy cow.
Yeah. So she's going to do 1,100 miles.
Oh, really?
Yep, she's gonna do the 500 and then fly down to Charlotte and do the 600.
Wow, okay. All right.
So, so basically, like Kyle Larson has tried to do a couple times, Tony Stewart, John Andretti, Robbie Gordon. There's, you know, there's only been six, I think, Kurt Busch. I think six is, I think Catherine will be the seventh, I believe. So a lot of great stories.
No other, did that other female driver try that once?
What's her name? Danica did not do the double.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's cool. I'm glad we brought her up then. That's always a neat story when they try to do that. Okay, so let's talk about you. First, I don't think we said it at the top of the interview. Tell everybody what you do for IndyCar and then what you're going to do on race day.
So my title is Head of Digital Experiences and Strategies for IndyCar and the two series, the NTT IndyCar series and the Indy Next by Firestone, which is the equivalent of AAA in baseball, right? So it's our development series. So basically, if you think of everything and anything digital and you remove social media from that, because I don't do social media, I am basically responsible for the platforms and the functionality of IndyCar.com, of our media site, so the media can get high-res photos and the press releases, things like that. I am also primarily responsible for the IndyCar app. Yep. So that is my design. I worked with NTT Data directly.
It's really cool.
It is really a modern feeling motorsports app. So basically what I do during race weekend is I make sure that we have live timing and scoring data going to IndyCar.com, to the IndyCar app. And then my other responsibilities include making sure that we're getting all of the streams for video streams for the IndyCar app. So for this year, for the Indy 500, we will have 17 in-car cameras in the app. We will have just over half the field.
That's
with an in-car camera that you can, you know, if you want to watch all 500 miles,
yeah,
you can do it right from the app.
So I know last year when you talked about it, I went on there and jumped around in some cars. It's a really cool thing to do.
So we have all those. If you want to listen into the driver's communication with their pit stand, you can do that. You can listen to the IndyCar radio network. Yep. You know, all those streams, basically, I just coordinate with our audio video organization, IMS Productions, just to make sure that we're getting them in the right spot and we're able to get them out to the fans, because we're trying to give the fans a premium, delightful experience enjoying our sport. And we do it all for free.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really cool. Yeah, I can't tell you enough, especially for me, a very casual racing fan, go do that. It is really awesome. David and his team do a great job. Okay, Chip, we told David we were going to give him a little quiz at the end of the interview, and here it is, because he is a wealth of knowledge, as we know.
Yes.
1986 Indy 500 sort of tied in with a major cultural event in this country, and there was also some weird circumstances about the 500. Can you tell us what that was?
1986 Indy 500. Was that Hands Across America?
Hands Across America. Do you remember about, now the attendance for that through very little of Indianapolis, through Lawrence, was decreased because something happened that day that caused, do you remember anything about the date of the race?
It was rained out, because if I remember right, the 86 was supposed to be held on, it was supposed to be held on Sunday.
Yep.
It was supposed to be held on, they rescheduled to Monday, Memorial Day Monday. Couldn't do it because both days were absolutely shot. And so they actually ended up running it on like May 31st.
May 31st is the exact date of the 1986 Indianapolis 500.
I believe it is the latest Indy 500 to be held.
There we go. It's all.
Hold on. Originally, like the first and the second, or the first couple Indianapolis 500s were always held on Memorial Day, because back in the 1900s, the early 1900s, Memorial Day was always May 31st, regardless of the day of the week. So the first Indianapolis 500 was May 31st, 1911, which happened to be on Sunday. Ah. So the first couple were on May 11th, and then when did Memorial Day become an actual national holiday? It would have been right after World War I, if I remember, and they declared Memorial Day to be the last Monday of May. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the Indy 500 then was like, okay, we're going to then permanently fix it to Memorial Day Sunday.
Well, folks, like we told you, he nailed it. Good job, David, on that. And don't forget, hey, on Sunday, while you're on the app and looking at all of David's team's great stuff, remember your place for the race starting at 11 a.m. is Memories 107.9. The greatest spectacle in racing. And I like listening to it on the radio, always have. DJ, it's always a blast to have you on. You're a wealth of knowledge, and we truly appreciate it, bud.
My pleasure. Happy to contribute anytime.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Enjoy your race day.
We will do so.
That will do it for a Memorial Day episode of Fair Shake. Producer Chip, thanks for all the hard work that you did today. Thanks to Ryan Lichten for coming on and bringing back some memories about Hands Across America. And then, of course, it's always great to have David Krask from IndyCar on. I can sit and talk to him all day long about this stuff. And he knows it all, and he has a blast talking about it. Hope you enjoyed that. Thanks to our sponsors. We could not do this show without them, of course. Make sure you let them know you heard about them here on Fair Shake. And most importantly, you know what? Thank you. There's a whole lot of things you could be doing on this Memorial Day weekend Saturday, and we appreciate you giving us a fair shake. On behalf of producer Chip, Ryan Lichten, and David Krask, we'll talk to you next week, everybody.
And once again, it is my privilege to introduce to you Mr. Jim Nabors. Back home again. And it seems that I can see the gleaming candlelight.